What the Cluck, episode 78. We're going to talk about baby chicks from weeks 7 to week 16, guys. Hi there, and welcome to this episode of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Maya from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode, we are going to talk all about baby chicks, weeks 7 through 16. In our last podcast, we covered weeks 1 through 6, and those were some pretty critical weeks. And weeks 7 through 16 are the next step in your baby chick's lives. Now, before we get started, this episode is sponsored by Manipur Poultry, and I've partnered with Manipro because their chicken products are the best on the market. Now, this episode is devoted yet again to baby chicks, and Manipro has a full array of non-GMO organic chicken feeds for every stage of your chicken's life. So, from the time that they are bitty chicks in weeks 1 through 6, you can go ahead and grab their non-GMO organic starter crumbles. And as they transition from baby chicks to growing pullets and laying hens, you can transition them from the organic chick starter to the grower crumbles and then to the layer feeds. So when you're getting chicks this spring and you're not sure what to get, go ahead and grab a bag of Manipro's non-GMO organic chick starter, and you can be sure that your chicks are getting the best diet possible. You can catch up with Manipro on the website at www.manipro.com. All right, y'all, let's get into our episode here, which is about baby chicks weeks 7 through 16. I have to pause there because sometimes I forget what weeks we're on. Sometimes I even forget what podcast episode we're on. But yeah, it's been a long week here on the homestead. But yeah, we're going into weeks 7 through 16 of your baby chicks' lives. So this is going to be really fun and really exciting. It's always exciting when there's baby chicks involved, right? I don't know what it is about baby chicks, but they are hugely entertaining, very cute, and a lot of fun to watch grow up, right? So we're going to split this episode into two different segments. We're going to talk about weeks 7 through 10, and then we're going to go ahead and talk about weeks 11 through 16. 7 through 10, your baby chicks are still in that, you know, itty-bitty chick stage. They're not quite growers yet, you know, growing pullets and growing young roosters. So that's why I wanted to split up this episode into those two, you know, weak age groups. Sometimes I'm more eloquent than other times, right? So we're going to call them weak age groups in this episode, apparently. But you get the point. Now, when we left our previous episode in week 6, the chicks were getting, they were, you know, partially feathered. They were maybe getting some neck feathers and maybe looking like they had some rough nights there, right? But they were getting their feed 24 hours a day and they were getting their water 24 hours a day. And you want to continue that in weeks 7 through 10. The reason why is because they're growing. The chick starter has a lot of protein in it. It's an 18% chick starter is what you're supposed to be feeding them. And it has a lot of protein in it. And the reason for that is because they need all that protein to grow healthy and to grow their feathers. Feathers are mostly protein, so therefore it takes protein in their body and in their diet to grow their feathers correctly. So if they don't have that, you know, particular diet, you know, you start taking your chances, I think. But weeks 7 through 10, they're going to continue to grow their feathers out. They're going to look a little bit sleeker. They're not going to look quite so rough like Ozzy Osbourne rough, right? Yeah. Anyways, they're not going to look as rough. So they'll start to look a little bit sleeker, a little bit more glossy, a little bit more healthy and you know, put together. If they don't look that way, you know, if they're looking rough, like they got their feathers in and they look a little bit dull, they look a little bit rough, yeah, you might want to go ahead and look at their diet. Maybe you're not feeding enough food. Maybe you're not feeding the right food. You know, it's with the 18% chick starter, the commercial diet, it's kind of hard to screw that up. You know, feed it 24 hours a day, they're pretty much good to go. So if you are feeding your chicks in that way, you're probably not running into these issues. These issues are more for people who have homemade layer rations or homemade chick rations. They have homemade feeds, you know, whatever they're feeding, you know, maybe they're even letting their chicks sort of, you know, run across the ground and pick up whatever they can. But as long as you're feeding a regular commercial diet, you know, you're probably not going to run into these issues. But during these weeks, you still want your chicks to get their feed and their water 24 hours a day. It's really, really important and critical that they do get it so that they can continue to produce feathers and grow healthy. Now, at this time, you still also want to give them the apple cider vinegar weekly. You can do it more than once a week if you want to, whatever works best for your schedule, but at weekly at a minimum. The way you do that is you put a tablespoon of raw organic apple cider vinegar. I always recommend that you create your own apple cider vinegar at home if you can. There are products you can buy on the blog. I have videos that show you how to do that. There's a fermenting video that covers more than just making apple cider vinegar. It covers carrots and radishes. There's also a 5-minute video on the blog that you can buy, and we'll put those links in the show notes, that shows you how to create it. That video is much shorter, it's less in depth, but it's only $5. But I always recommend making your own apple cider vinegar so that you know how good the quality is. Sometimes with some of these, apple cider vinegars you buy at the store, sometimes I kind of wonder about them. And you always want to make sure that it's organic and with the mother, because that's what's going to have the beneficial bacteria in it that will help your chicks develop good gut flora. So like I said, at a minimum, you want to give them this once a week. Put 1 tablespoon in 1 gallon of water, and then just feed them the water, give them the water from that gallon jug. At this time, too, you can go ahead and give them small treats. If you do this, definitely make sure that you give them chick grit as well. And we'll put a link in the show notes to the specific grit that I buy. Chick grit is the same thing, essentially, that you give adults, or that adults will pick up on their own outside. It's just a lot smaller. So you can't just go to the feed store and pick up a bunch of grit and walk home and be good to go. The grit has to be a small enough flake that the chicks can actually consume it and swallow it. I prefer to buy it online just to make sure that I got the right stuff. If you're only giving them the chick starter, you don't really need to give them the grit. This is more if you're feeding them treats, you're letting them go outside, you're letting them, hunt and peck and do whatever chickens do. At that point, they need the grit because they need to be able to grind down whatever it is that they've eaten. For example, if they've consumed grasses, if they've consumed bugs, if they've consumed seeds, they're going to need to digest that, and the grit will help them do that. Something else you're going to notice is that if you are keeping them in a brooder still, which you should during these weeks, you should keep an eye on the temperature. If it's very cold in your area, you're probably still going to want to use a heat lamp until they're fully feathered. Once they're fully feathered, you don't need it anymore. But what you'll find also, though, if you're keeping them in a brooder, is that they're going to want to fly out all the time. All right, guys? Literally all the time. They're going to always be curious about their surroundings. They're going to be curious about looking for food. So you're going to want to keep them in a brooder that is secure. They're going to get adventurous, believe me. They're going to wander around your house if you keep them inside. They run the risk of being attacked by a cat or a dog. And little dogs will attack them also. So don't, think your, lap dog is not going to attack them. They will. That not every dog out there is going to, obviously, but you run the risk of your dog attacking them. And the cat as well. We have now 2 cats, apparently, and I can pretty much guarantee you that if we had chicks running around here, they'd be dead in an hour. So it's just very, very important to keep that in mind as your chicks grow up, that when they are in a brooder, they are going to try and get out. And I can pretty much guarantee you that, let's say you keep them in a brooder and it's out in a barn or it's somewhere outside. If that brooder is not locked, I guarantee you that predators will find them and they will go after them. Chicks especially, any chickens are sort of, can be victims of a predator. But chicks especially, because they're so small, they don't have the same level of experience as older chickens do, so they, don't quite know how to look out for predators because they are young. They are targets. They got targets on their back. We've had several issues with that on our farm where we have not, we've had a lot of chicks. We've not been as careful with making sure that they were as protected as we possibly could. And skunks will find them, possums will find them, and they will come back every night until you get smart and lock them up. That's my recommendation. You'll find that they will want to leave the brooders, and you're going to have to protect them by giving them some sort of enclosed area that's safe from predators. Now let's go on to weeks 11 through 16. This is where things get a little bit easier in some ways, and in some ways they don't get easier, right? Now weeks 11 through 16, your chicks are probably fully feathered at that point, okay? they are definitely fully feathered by week 16. If they're not, then you got some problems going on. You probably should seek a vet. But during those weeks, they're probably fully feathered. So you don't need the heat lamp, definitely. They're probably too big for a brooder at this point also. Right, week 10, they're sort of pushing it. Weeks 11 through 16, undoubtedly, they're going to be too big for a brooder. This is the point at which they are growing chickens. You know, they're no longer baby chicks anymore. They're growing chickens. And they do actually have different needs than baby chicks do. Now, you still want to give them some sort of a ration. You can go ahead and give them the 18% chick starter until they are 16 weeks old or until the pullets start to lay. Okay, you can do that. You can also go ahead and switch them to a grower feed. ManaPro has both the chick starter and the grower crumbles. The difference is that a grower ration has less protein in it. So it's up to you which one you feel is, you know, will better serve your chickens. We go ahead and we personally on our farm, we tend to feed them the starter ration until they're about, you know, 11, 12 weeks old. Then we transition to a grower ration. Now, one thing that I will say at this point, though, is you will probably notice that if you're keeping your younger chickens with your older chickens, with your layers, you'll probably notice that if you're feeding your hens, you know, a layer pellet, that the young chicks will go after that as well. That can cause some issues. You know, 9 times out of 10, they're probably okay. But the problem is with layer feeds is that they have a lot of calcium in them. And the growers, you know, the young pullets and the young roosters, they don't really need that much calcium. It can cause, you know, organ issues. So at that point, if you are concerned, you can go ahead and not give everyone a layer ration. You can give everyone a grower ration. It will still have the basic nutritional requirements of both the growing chickens and the laying chickens. What you can do, because it's not going to have enough calcium for your layers, right? What you can do is you can supplement that feed with a calcium supplement such as oyster shells or cooked eggshells, you know, eggshells that have been toasted and dried and ground up. You can go ahead and supplement that grower ration with those. That's a way to sort of work around the different feed requirements of the different ages. But you definitely want to make sure that your growing chickens are not getting the layer feed. You know, you might have problems, you might not have problems, but why tempt fate, right? So go ahead and give everyone a grower ration and then supplement with a calcium supplement for your layers. But if you're not keeping everyone together, then this is not an issue. You can go ahead and transition your growing pullets and roosters. You can transition them onto the grower feed without any sort of concerns. You also still want to give them the apple cider vinegar regularly, apple cider vinegar in their water. You can do the exact same thing. You take a gallon jug of water. I don't recommend using an old milk jug. You never know what germs might be in there, right? It's old milk, right? I always recommend either using like a distilled water bottle or, you know, something that's cleaner than a milk bottle. All you do is put the 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, again, raw apple cider vinegar, in the gallon jug of water, shake the whole thing up, and then just feed them from that. Now, if you have a lot of chickens that are growing and they need apple cider vinegar, you're probably going to need a lot more water than that, but that's sort of the basic ratio to consider. So if you end up using like a 10-gallon water trough, just put in 10 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar and you're good to go. Now, going back real quick to the brooder situation, at this point, like I said, you're probably not going to be able to keep them in a brooder because it's going to be too small. You can go ahead and put them in a coop. What will happen, though, what you need to be careful of is that your young chickens, your growing pullets and roosters, they probably will not roost. On our farm, you know, my experience, they don't roost until they're quite a bit older, you know, well after 16 weeks. What they'll do is, you know, they don't have the idea of it for some reason. And what they'll do is they'll lay on the ground. This obviously makes them a prime target for predators. And we have had, like, skunks, for example, get into our coop. And, you know, we had young, beautiful, growing pullets and roosters on the, you know, laying on the floor of their coop. And we've walked in the morning and found them totally disemboweled. Okay, it's really disgusting. But It does happen. That's part of chicken ownership. You know, you can want their food for other animals in the world. So, you know, you're going to lose some from time to time without a doubt. But that's why it's so important to make sure that the coop you put them in, wherever you put them, is totally secure. Not a crack anywhere. Nothing that a potential predator could get through. And it's because they're not probably going to roost. So roosting is part of your chicken's natural self-defense. It's part of the way they protect themselves because they go up and predators at night, in all likelihood, are not going to be able to get them. There are exceptions to that, but most of them are not going to be able to get them. Young pullets and roosters, they don't do that. They lay on the ground. So whatever you do, just make sure wherever you put them, it's very secure so that you don't walk in and find everybody disemboweled. It's really, really frustrating, right? We've all been there at some point. It's really frustrating to raise chickens, put the effort out, put the worry out, only to have some predator in the middle of the night come and just, like, totally invalidate the effort that you just made, right? And something else I'd like to point out is that, you know, when you do put them outside, make sure that it's not going to be so cold the first day or the first day or two, right? So let's say, for example, you've been keeping them in a barn under a heat lamp and it's been, you know, 75 degrees in that barn. And you put them outside in a coop and it's suddenly, you know, -2. You're going to kind of want to, you know, introduce them to the cold a little bit better than that. They probably will be okay, but, you know, I like to, you know, better safe than sorry is my opinion, right? So what I do is I just introduce them to the colder weather slowly. They can go outside during the day, for example, when they're walking around and, you know, the blood's circulating. But at night, if it's going to be very cold all of a sudden, I actually do bring them in the house just to make sure that they make it through the night okay. Again, you don't want to go through all the effort of raising them, all the expense of the feed, all the expense of the whatever else they need, only to have them freeze in the middle of the night, right? So let's be smart here. Now, if they will be kept with other chickens, older chickens, you do want to try to take care to introduce them slowly. This is particularly of importance if you have a lot of roosters. We unfortunately have had to learn the hard way that in situations where there's a lot of roosters, they can gang up on the baby chicks, on, you know, the growers, and it can cause some real problems, even death, right? We've had roosters basically maul young pullets to death. They get into a competition with each other, and it's not good. If you have a lot of roosters, I even say don't allow the chicks to interact with them until they're fully grown. Right? I've just learned the hard way that it can go very, very bad very quickly. And it's horrible, a horrible way to die. All right. So that's just my advice. Take it or leave it. You know, do whatever you want with it. But that's what we do on our farm. Now, if you're introducing them into a situation where there's layers and there's only one rooster and he's basically a good guy, then you can go ahead and introduce him slowly. And I would expect a lot of squabbles and a lot of, you know, scared pullets the first day. They're sorting themselves out. It's totally fine. If they are actually picking on them, like the pullets and the young roosters are getting picked on and somebody's getting hurt, then, you know, you got to kind of make some decisions about what you're going to do in that. And I can't tell you exactly what you should do because it's very situational, my advice would be. But, you know, understand that you're going to see her squabbles. As long as nobody's getting hurt, as long as everybody's able to get food and water, it's okay. What I personally like to do is I like to let everybody see each other, but they can't touch each other. So I find some way to divide them, whether we use I call them hello boxes, but basically it's like a box that has chicken wire. So you can put it in the coop, everybody can see each other, but nobody can really touch. They can work out their issues through a screen, basically. That's the way that we introduce them on our farm. The whole idea here, though, is, you know, use your best judgment and just try and make everyone as safe as possible, all right? Basically, your pullets and your roosters are young chickens until the pullets start laying and the roosters mature. We're going to focus in this section on just the layers at this point, because I'm guessing that most of you out there are probably just going to get pullets for the eggs. Now, once they start laying, that's when you want to start transitioning them to a layer feed. Again, they need to have enough calcium. What you'll find is probably the first, you know, 1, 2, or maybe 3 eggs that your pullets lay, they might be soft. They might have soft shells. That's totally normal. It's partially because they're not getting enough calcium in their diet in all likelihood if they're getting, you know, a grower ration. But it's also just their system catching up. It, you know, even if they're getting enough calcium, sometimes they still lay soft eggs. It's just part of their, you know, the maturing process, right? They have to mature enough to lay eggs with shells. I wouldn't worry too much about it. You know, if this is happening, you know, fairly consistently after, you know, a month or two, you got a problem. You got to, you know, look at what you're doing. But if the first one, two, or three are soft, not a problem. Just her system will, in all likelihood, catch up. But at that point, you definitely want to make sure that she is getting a layer ration just to make sure that she's getting everything that she needs. And once they've started laying, you've successfully gotten your chicks to transition from baby chicks to growers to layers. Congratulations, you now have layers, right? It's always very exciting when they start to lay eggs. Every spring, there's always somebody who's like, I got my first egg, and it's always exciting, right? Every time we have new chickens that lay eggs, it's always exciting. So that is the end of this podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it, and it's giving you lots of ideas about how to help your chicks transition in their lives from weeks 7 to week 16. I do want to encourage you to go ahead and grab a copy of my book, Chickens Naturally Raising a Sustainable Flock. It will help you through these weeks, and it will help you ensure that your chickens grow from healthy chicks to healthy layers, and then how to take care of them beyond that, right? You can go ahead and grab a copy of that book at thefrugalchicken.com/chickenbook. Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.